Welcome back, everybody, to the Full Press Coverage Pittsburgh Steelers podcast. This is your host, as always, Parker Hurley. This is our episode 19, and we are recapping preseason week 2 against the Green Bay Packers. I'm going to do a solo podcast tonight as I'm doing this kind of immediately after the game. I want to get this out as soon as possible, so couldn't really schedule a co-host for tonight. So we're just going to kind of roll with it and see how it goes. So just going to kind of go through the position by position as always. A disappointing game by the scoreboard, but, you know, we're kind of looking at player performances more than we're looking at who won and lost the game, considering it's the preseason. So going to kind of just obviously start with, you know, the big one was the quarterback position. And Mason Rudolph finally got his first start of his NFL career in week 2. It's something that, you know, we've been talking about, and me and Brian have highlighted since, you know, back in right after the draft, we kind of laid out how you would probably want to schedule your quarterbacks and how you'd want to progress them. And you kind of circled week 2 as the game where they did it with Joshua Dobbs last year, threw him out there for the first half and into the second half. Mason Rudolph only got the first half tonight, which I thought was interesting because if you've been listening to our recent podcast, I kind of talked about how Tomlin talked about last year with Joshua Dobbs, how he liked the idea of Dobbs going into the half, regrouping, and then getting another series after the half to kind of, you know, show that poise and show that he was able to regroup in the locker room. But Rudolph didn't get that chance, and, you know, he struggled. And when you compare it to Joshua Dobbs of last season, very similar statistically. So, you know, just not really the start that you wanted for Mason Rudolph. You know, 5 of 12, 47 yards, touchdown and an interception. He was sacked 3 times, you know, 3.9 yards per attempt. It was just ugly all the way around. You know, you saw it from the very first play of the game. He threw an interception. And, you know, what really was an issue was a lot of the things that, you know, showed up in this game and showed up as warts for Mason Rudolph are things that I've kind of talked about over the draft process as, you know, reasons why I wasn't really, especially in the first round, I wasn't high on him as a pick. But even in the third round, I was kind of questioning what you have in him and, you know, what his potential ceiling is. You know, I wrote something that you could read about him. You know, what was Mason Rudolph's ceiling is actually what I titled it. And I wrote that before the Steelers had drafted him. And then I kind of talked about this, you know, after the Steelers drafted him, as I really dug into him. You know, the thing is, he struggles to get off of his read. You know, he kind of locks onto one person and he kind of just stays on that, you know, for maybe a beat too long or an extra second too long. And you saw that in this game, you know, not only on the interception where he stared down his man, but, you know, kind of throughout the night. And he also, I think he just saw the speed of the game. And that's another thing that I've talked about a lot is just how much faster the NFL is, even in the preseason, than college. And he handled, you know, in that backup role, or he was even the third string role in the very first game, you know, he handled the speed pretty well considering who was around him. But you saw that, you know, there were some first teamers out there and you saw that, you know, he started to realize how fast he, like I said, has to progress through reads and has to get off of that first guy and move to the second guy. And, you know, you have to do this all while maneuvering the pocket, you know. And there were times where, you know, he was maneuvering and he wasn't getting off of his read, or he was getting off of his read but he wasn't maneuvering. And, you know, you saw him get hit in the pocket. You saw him stripped once. You saw the interception, like I said, was kind of a stare down as well. So you kind of saw it all, everything that I highlighted as, you know, some of his warts. You know, even in the first game, you saw a fumble, which was a question that I had, you know, was his hands. So, you know, you're seeing it all from Mason Rudolph. And the issue is, you know, week 3 is the dress rehearsal where he's probably not going to play much. And then week 4 is kind of a throwaway game, you know, for every team. And Joshua Dobbs played a lot in that game. He showed a little bit, and I thought he showed progression from week 1 to week 2, or from week 2 to week 4 in that preseason. And Rudolph's probably going to get the same chance. But like I said, it's against players who aren't going to make the roster. You typically throw players out there who aren't going to make the roster. You know, you could probably argue that Rudolph will even get the first series or the first quarter of that game, and it'll be Dobbs for about 3.5 quarters from there. So, you know, Rudolph isn't going to get many chances from here. So that's about, you know, all we're going to see from him. He definitely didn't, you know, make any advancements on the backup start or, you know, the backup job. So that's Landry Jones heading into the season. And that's kind of where we are at this point. And I don't see him, you know, catching him during the season either. So we're heading into next season, you know, kind of wondering what kind of progression we're going to get for Rudolph. So, you know, you have to see it because he's going to get a few chances, but like I said, it's going to be against some weaker competition. So it'll be tough to see what you can get out of Rudolph from there. Moving on to Dobbs, he went 12 of 18 for 192 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. It was kind of funny. he threw his very first pass was a very similar pick to the one that Mason Rudolph threw. So you were kind of saying, well, same old thing. You know, maybe the Steelers like the same quarterbacks for that trait. But, it, you know, Dobbs ended up showing some poise, ended up showing, you know, the ability to climb the pocket and stand in the pocket and make some tough throws. And I talked about it last week. I thought he was improved from year one to year two. I said from week two to week four of the preseason, from year one to year two, he showed progression. I thought from week one to week two of this season, he showed progression. And, you know, now all of a sudden the Steelers might be in a pickle to where, you know, Dobbs is improving. Rudolph is kind of is what he is. You've obviously invested more in Rudolph. You invested that in Rudolph more recently. You know, there was heir apparent talk with a guy like Rudolph. But, you know, Dobbs is improving and Dobbs is impressing and Dobbs is in year two. And, you know, you can't keep both. You really can't. And, you know, you're probably not going to keep Dobbs no matter what. But the fact of the matter is he's going to make it a harder decision because somebody might scoop him up and he might not be able to make the practice squad, which is what they wanted. So he's showing some improvements. And like I said, he's probably going to have that entire fourth preseason game to highlight himself for other teams. So that'll be interesting to watch. Moving to the running backs, James Conner was excellent in this game. 5 carries for 57 yards and a touchdown. He ripped off a 26-yarder. He showed soft feet. He showed quick feet. He showed decision-making between the tackles. So he was really strong in this game. I thought he looked, you know, the best that he's ever looked, especially considering, you know, when you think about his timeline of how he got here, it kind of makes a lot of sense. You think about, you know, coming from, you know, beating cancer to his senior season to the NFL draft process, you know, to a rookie season and going through all of that all in, you know, one kind of cycle. I think this summer he got a chance to kind of just sit back, take a breather, and then, you know, focus on himself and his body and everything like that. Focus on improving his body, you know, not beating cancer, actually, you know, gaining, you know, strength and muscle. And he looks like he's in great shape. And he looks, you know, he was just kind of a plodder and a bruiser coming out of Pitt, you know, based on his senior season. But now he looks quick. He looks quick-footed and he looks sharp. And he looks like he's, you know, the clear-cut backup heading into the start of the season. So that was just a huge development, in my opinion. Fitzgerald Toussaint was a player who came in right after him. And I thought he made some progression as well. I listed him as a winner on the most recent article I wrote on fullpresscoverage.com, where I highlighted the winners and losers. So Fitzgerald Toussaint was another player, you know, 7 carries, 26 yards, but he highlighted in pass protection, and he was the starting kick returner for the team. So it looks like he has, you know, a huge role, and, you know, not a huge role, but he has a role in this on this roster moving forward. He probably solidified himself as the number 3 player, and it's going to be interesting because Stephen Ridley sat out this game, and it's something that Ben Pagani talked about on our last podcast, that he expected Stephen Ridley to sit out, and he said that, you know, what do we really need to see from a veteran like Stephen Ridley? Those snaps should go to a player like Jalen Samuels, and they did. Jalen Samuels played the majority of the second half. He had 9 rushes for 38 yards and a touchdown. I wanted to see him involved in the passing game, and I've been talking about getting him involved in the passing game. And he wasn't involved in the passing game early, and that was something that I was looking for based on the fact that he was involved in the passing game early in the first preseason game. So he didn't really get that. He had 3 for 13 through the air. They went to him on a 2-point conversion as well, and he didn't haul it in. It's going to be interesting. You know, has he made up ground on Stephen Ridley? Is he going to take that Stephen Ridley fourth job? It's starting to look like they're probably going to keep 4. Like I said, Fitz held on to that third spot, and they gave Samuels, you know, the chance tonight, I thought, to take over that fourth spot, you know, the Stephen Ridley spot. The question is, did he take it? I don't know. I don't think so. So that's going to be pretty interesting moving forward. James Washington moving on to the wide receivers, you know, 5 for 114 and 2 touchdowns. He pretty much did everything that I've talked about and I've wrote about for a while now. And I talked about how I think he's going to outproduce Martavis Bryant's 2017 season for the Steelers statistically in 2018. I think he's going to get similar targets and he's going to be more efficient in them. So I'm just completely high on James Washington, and I understand, you know, I think he's proving everything that I said right. And it goes back to, you know, my opinion of Rudolph was James Washington bailed him out of a lot of stuff, and, you know, he bailed Joshua Dobbs out of, you know, 2 touchdowns in this game. So he made Dobbs, like I said, look better to the point where he might not make the practice squad for the Steelers. We were looking for really anything else out of the receivers and didn't really get too much. Damon Patterson had 3 for 35. I don't know if that's really pushing him up the charts, you know, to make the NFL roster. So, you know, like I said, he's not going to have a great shot in week three. Maybe in week four if he just has a huge game, because I've been saying, you know, a guy like Justin Hunter is so exposable, and he didn't do anything again tonight. And I'm still saying that I think Marcus Tucker is ahead of Justin Hunter in the pecking order, and he's a better special teamer. He was good blocking in this game. So I just think he's still head and shoulders ahead of Justin Hunter. Then I think, you know, Darius Heyward-Bey is probably, you know, the fourth or fifth guy, considering that Eli Rogers is probably going to start the season on the PUP. So to move on to the tight ends, Jesse James, 1 for 21. You know, I'm still not really watching anything with him. What I thought was interesting was, you know, Xavier Grimble's out, but Bucky Hodges was the next tight end in. Pharaoh McKeever had one catch for 10 yards. So those two are probably in a competition. And you start to look at the roster and, you know, Vance McDonald has an injury history. And he's injured right now. So Bucky Hodges and Pharaoh McKeever are two players who are probably competing for spots, or, you know, arguably competing for a spot maybe on the week one roster, because you can't just go into a game with Jesse James and Xavier Grimble and no depth behind that. You know, you could argue Jalen Samuels could play a little something there, but that's not really going to happen. So McKeever and Hodges are fighting for a spot, and I'm pretty sure Hodges was the first player on the field. I noticed he was active in blocking, and that's something I talked about in the preview, that he was a former wide receiver at Tech, so he has to be active in blocking, and that's something that he showed in this game. So pretty excited about that idea for him as a tight end. So I think Hodges is ahead of McKeever. I'm not 100% sure, and that's probably something we're going to have to see in the third game. They would obviously love to get McDonald healthy for that third game. Like I said, it's the dress rehearsal, it's the starters. But if he's not, then it's going to be really fascinating to see who takes those snaps before, you know, whether it's Bucky Hodges or McKeever, because then all of a sudden one of them is probably a 53rd man on the roster. So you move to the offensive line. Nothing really to note here. I think Chukwuma Okorafor is kind of proving to be a pretty good third-round pick. He looks like he's potentially going to be a starter at one point. And what's been great about him is he's getting some starting reps on the right side, and then he's shifting over to the left side, you know, to take some backup snaps. So he's playing deep into some games, and he's playing pretty well. Zach Banner, I thought it was interesting, was the backup right tackle behind after Chukwuma, and he got some playing time as well. So he was just recently signed, and he's a player that maybe he's sticking around the practice squad, so he's at least worth looking into. Moving on to the defensive line, the big development has to be the fact that Daniel McCullers started this game ahead of Javon Hargrave. You thought, you know, maybe Javon Hargrave's getting a rest, but this is something we talked about in the podcast last week, or before the game, that McCullers at one day was taking snaps ahead of Hargrave, and we kind of brushed it aside saying, you know, well, that's just they're rewarding McCullers, but now it's starting to look like they're punishing Hargrave as well, because Hargrave played into like the fourth quarter of this game, and he had at least three tackles in this game, and he was blowing things up in the backfield, and he looked like a starting NFL player who's been starting for the last two seasons and is playing against bench players and players struggling to make the 53-man roster. So it's just interesting, you know, why he is playing at these moments, and, you know, it probably has a little bit to do with the fact that McCullers is improving to the point where he looks pretty good, and you want to reward a player like him, you know, a sixth-round pick who, for, you know, it's, what, year five, he's finally becoming something. So, you know, you want to give him that a little bit, but that doesn't mean you're playing Hargrave deep into the second half. So there's more to that. The fact of the matter is McCullers has made the 53-man roster. We talked about how there's probably five locks, and then the sixth man, you know, is it Joshua Frazier? Is it Greg Gilmore? I thought Frazier flashed in this game, and he's probably going to make the practice squad because he played well, but he's just, you know, McCullers is starting. He's not going to compete with a guy like McCullers at this point. I don't think McCullers is going to start moving forward, but nonetheless, he was, you know, getting some starter snaps. So it's interesting to look at. Ola Adeniyi, again, another player, you know, off of the edge, second week in a row, he looked pretty good at the outside linebacker spot. So, I mean, another player, a UDFA who may be making the roster here. We talked about how he's a guy who, you know, he plays low to the ground, and he'll play with a willingness to play special teams, which is probably what could get him onto the roster as the fifth outside linebacker. So I think the stock is up big time on Adeniyi, and he put together another performance. You know, Farrington Hugonen was fine, but arguably if Hugonen, Keon Adams and Adeniyi back-to-back weeks. Adeniyi has been actually the star player, so that's going to be interesting moving forward. Chickalo was fine. The other big development from the outside linebacker position was Bud Dupree, who arguably, you know, one of the things that I've said in his case against, you know, he hasn't broken out yet, is that he has been, after his first season, he had a shoulder injury and then he had a hernia. So he's missed two off seasons so far. And, you know, one of them, or two of them actually dug into his regular season. One of them dug deep into his regular season. So he hasn't had off seasons and he hasn't had ability to grow in the off season. This was supposed to be an off season that he had, and he was having it until a concussion sidelined him for week one. Not a big deal, but you know, if he misses this week, it is a big deal. He came back. It was good for him. And he pass rushed from everywhere. It was really notable that he was rushing from the middle, which I thought was pretty interesting, aggressively rushing from the middle and, you know, getting pressure on the quarterback from the middle. Also was on the, you know, his new side, the blind side, and got home on a sack from the blind side. And, you know, that's what the Steelers said was, you know, they kept saying he was just a step away, and they feel like if he was on the other side, he probably would have got home on a few more. And it bared out over his very first preseason game. So maybe they do know what they're talking about there. So maybe it could be a big season for Bud Dupree. We'll have to see about that. Moving to the inside linebackers, you know, John Bostic and Vince Williams. I talked about how I thought Bostic would take over as the first team linebacker in practice. It really didn't bear out. But the fact of the matter is, in this game, he was the first team linebacker, and there was no doubt about it. You know, he played throughout the first half, but he was next to Vince Williams throughout the entirety. And actually, what's interesting is when Williams left, Matakevich came in for Williams and Bostic stayed in for a little bit. And Matakevich played next to John Bostic for a little bit. So Bostic stayed in his role for an extended period. And even Matakevich didn't even bump Bostic from the role. He was actually playing the reserve Vince Williams role. So it feels like Bostic has a firm grasp on the starting job now. But the fact of the matter is, he had a pass interference penalty and he had a couple issues in coverage. He was pointing things out and looked instinctive in the box, and I think he's a good player in the box, but between him and Vince Williams, I don't know if you have anything in coverage. I'm not saying that Tyler Matakevich is the answer either, but I think that the fact that Bostic is so high ahead of Matakevich now just speaks to, you know, where Matakevich is, but it also tells us, you know, that Bostic isn't, you know, I still don't think Bostic isn't winning this job. It's more that Matakevich is probably losing it and exposing himself as, you know, the caliber of athlete that he is. Bostic is just shining so much ahead of him in that regard. But Bostic isn't really showing that he's going to be a strong starter yet, so we're still looking for that. Matthew Thomas, I know LJ Fort, you know, after they went from Matakevich to Bostic, they went to Fort and Thomas, so, you know, that was fine. And then they actually went to Matakevich and Thomas for a little bit. So I thought that was interesting because Matakevich or Thomas, what we keep thinking about is the instincts, and he bit on a play action in that game as well. So putting him next to players who I think are smart, like Fort and like Matakevich, who will point things out to him on the field, I think is a great idea. And there was a play where Nat Burry ended up giving up an 80, you know, a long touchdown, and Matthew Thomas actually beat Burry down the field after Burry got kind of juked out. He had to turn around, but he had like a 10-15 yard lead on a guy like Matthew Thomas who chased him down the field. And I keep saying that every time you watch Matthew Thomas, you understand that he's not there yet mentally, but you just see the raw athleticism and the raw speed is just there. So he's going to make the roster. You know, there's just no doubt in my mind at this point. Moving on to the cornerbacks, Artie Burns got beat for, you know, one little play over the slant. Brian Allen had an up and down night. He was called for a penalty, but I just don't think the penalty was really his fault. He gave up a catch, but then it was called back on a penalty. Had a few moments, you know, but really just hasn't flashed too much yet. So you're wondering, you know, him and Cody Sensabaugh are still – Cody Sensabaugh had a penalty that wasn't really his fault either. So him and Cody Sensabaugh are still kind of battling, and there's really nothing going on there. I thought Cameron Sutton had another good night. It's notable that he returned a punt in this game, although he fair catched it. But nonetheless, he was returning punts. So that's really the cornerbacks at this point. You know, they're kind of just locked into – where they are. It is kind of just a Brian Allen versus Sensabaugh update, and they kind of, I don't think anybody pulled ahead in this one yet either. Moving on to the safeties, Sean Davis didn't start, so Terrell Edmonds started in his place, and I talked about on the article I wrote, the winners and losers article, that I thought Edmonds was a loser in this game because he gave up two touchdowns. You know, he got bodied by Jimmy Graham, and then a practice squad player, you know, he had decent coverage on him, but made a nice catch on him. You know, he also had a few other issues in coverage in space. He did force a fumble on special teams, which is nice, but you know, when he's on the field on defense is where you really want to see him making an impact. And I don't think he made that whatsoever. I think he took a few bad angles in this game as well. But it was a learning experience. And it's worth noting that he's been taking snaps as the backup strong safety. And without Sean Davis, he was really playing the backup free safety. Or he was playing the starting free safety. So, you know, he was kind of just thrown into the fire. Even arguably, you know, a tougher situation than a player like Mason Rudolph, you know. The quarterback position is so tough, but given the fact that, you know, Edmonds didn't have any repetition there and he was, you know, playing in the first team role as well. So you could excuse it for Edmonds. He's probably going to play a little more than Rudolph in week three, but then I don't think he'll play at all in week four. And you'll wonder at this point, you have to say that in the dime situations, Cameron Sutton has a lead over Terrell Edmonds, but they're also going to play some dollar this year where both of them are on the field. So probably heading into week one, I think in week three, like I said, is the dress rehearsal. I think you'll see Sutton ahead of Terrell Edmonds at this point. So moving into the depth, you know, Jordan Dangerfield and Malik Golden are still ahead of Marcus Allen for the third team. That's something we talked about for a while. The question is, are they going to keep five safeties? And the idea is, you know, like I said, heading into week three, Marcus Allen's not going to play at all, arguably. And then week four, he's probably going to play a ton. But unless he shows something, you know, he has a pick six and, you know, something crazy, he's probably going to clear waivers and head to the practice squad. And me and Brian are speculating, you know, are you putting 10 pounds on him and changing his role next season? That's what we're going to be looking for with that. The question now is, you know, does a fifth safety make it between Dangerfield and Malik Golden? And, you know, I know Brian's high on Malik Golden. I thought he played decently well tonight. You know, all of these obviously have to go back through. But I know Jordan Dangerfield had a few plays on special teams and played well. So I think they might carry five safeties. I'd probably give an edge to Dangerfield, but have to, you know, have to see a little more. I think they're going to keep five. And I think how they handle them in week three is probably going to be going to be pretty interesting. So that was just my quick thoughts to go through with you guys. So hopefully this will be out quickly after the game. I'll probably go back through and get another podcast brewing where we'll talk about not only this game, but talk about week three, because week three is going to be so much different than week two. And the fact that it's going to be, like I said, the dress rehearsal, we're going to probably see Ben Roethlisberger. We're going to hopefully see Antonio Brown on the field in this game and, you know, all of those players. So we'll have so many different expectations and it's not, you know, Rudolph and Dobbs anymore. We're going to see a lot of Landry Jones probably next week as well too. So that'll be it for right now. Like I said, we'll talk to you guys probably early into next week. So I will talk to you guys then.